The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I want to start the sermon with a statement. This sermon is intended as a warning to the Church of God at large. A nation that is afraid to let the people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people. John F. Kennedy. Judgment. Judging. When you hear the word, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? If you are like most believers, quite possibly, it might be something connected with confusion. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the fact is, we do have what might seem like contradictions when you look into the pages of the Bible looking at this particular topic. I mean, after all, on one side we are told not to judge, and then on another side we are instructed to judge. So I could see where that could be some confusion, yet we also at the same time know that the Holy Bible does not contradict itself, does it? Before we get into this, what I believe to be a very important topic of judging, I'd like for us to look and see what the word judge actually means. I'd like for us to see the definition, or maybe more proper, the term would be word usage for the New Testament Greek verb that is translated judge in our Bibles. I'm going to give you several bullets. You can try and write these down, or you can do exactly what I did, and that's go to Strong's Concordance and look up the word 3212, which is what it is, and this is all simply that I did. I just listed them out in bullets, and so I'll go kind of fast, but we'll get a gist of it, how it is used, and we would consider this somewhat of a definition of the word. And I think that you'll see a lot more about that, why, by the time we get to the end of the sermon. So, going from one bullet to the next bullet, the usage would be to separate, put asunder, to pick out, select, or choose. The next one is to approve, esteem, to prefer. The next one, to be of opinion, deem, think. So I think you can see, I mean, I got several more, but I think we can see just right off from just these few, this is a widely used word. And so when we hear the word judge, don't judge and then judge, I can really understand why there would be perhaps confusion unless you've really looked into this and done a pretty good study on it. The next bullet is to determine, resolve, decree. The next one is to judge. The next one is to pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong. The next one, to be judged, meaning to be summoned to trial that one's case may be examined. The next one, to pronounce judgment. The next one, to pass judgment on the deeds and words of others. I have two more. The next one is to rule, to govern. And then the last one that I have is to preside over with the power of giving judicial decisions. Okay. I'd like for us at this time to ask some questions, and then hopefully by the end of the sermon we've got a little more information and be able to answer these two particular questions. Two questions. I'll give one and then later we'll ask the second one. The first question is, what does the Bible mean by the phrase we are not to judge others? I mean, I think that we understand that. We're told that this is a subject that has caused, I believe, confusion for many people. And as I stated, on one hand, we are told, Jesus tells us, do not condemn, and then we are also told that we are to judge, even though in connection with not to judge, we are told, don't judge or you'll be judged also. And so, confusion. I understand that. The Bible also, on the other hand, urges us to beware of evildoers and false prophets, false ministers, to recognize them, to be able to point them out, to be able to know who they are. And we're also told to avoid those who practice all kinds of evil. Go with me to Psalm 5. Psalm 5, verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquities. Proverbs 6:16 through 19, you know these. These are where these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among him brethren. So I have a question in connection with this. Just looking at these two references here, how are we to discern who these people are if we're not to make some kind of judgment about them? And I'm also probably sure that most of us know and have experienced as believers that at some time or another we have been personally accused of judging someone when we have spoken out against some sin or sinful activity, right? I know I have. I've been told, you're judging me and you're a minister and the Bible says that you aren't supposed to judge. After all, you're a Christian. Maybe some of you have had that, or maybe it's just me. I don't know. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, where the verse states, judge not that you be not judged. To judge here does not mean exactly to pronounce some kind of disapproving or condemnatory judgment on another person. The focus, I mean, we are told, don't do that. And so we have to put it in the context of what the verse is actually saying, or all these verses. And we're going to read more of these verses as we go through. The context makes it very clear that the thing that is being condemned here is the act of looking upon unfavorably on the, shall we say, the character and the actions of other people. It's upon the person and upon their actions, because what habitually will happen, what tends to happen in humans' lives is when we do this, it leads to some type of rash, unjust, or unloving judgment upon those people. Make no doubt about it, it is the judgments, that the pronouncements that are being spoken here. It's we judging somebody, it's what we're focused, it's what he's actually focusing on here in this context. However, what Jesus is aiming at is the spirit or the attitude where these things are coming from. So it's really about us. Don't judge because, and then he goes on and he looks at these verses. Because it's also very clear, because I said there's two sides, and so it is very clear, there is a righteous kind of judgment that we are supposed to exercise. It obviously is to be done with a great deal of care and great deal of discernment, you know, on our part in exercising that kind of judgment. Let's go to John chapter 7 and verse 24. John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we got on one end, he says, judge not that you be not judged. And then on the other hand, he says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So the focus on one is we have to watch what we're doing, and that's what the context is about, where most of the time people go to point it out. You're a Christian, and therefore you're not supposed to be judging and pointing out my sins and my faults. When Jesus tells us not to judge in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, he is telling us not to judge hypocritically. So again, we go back, and so let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll see that that's the actual focus of what he's getting to here. Verse 1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged, because with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why behold you the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye'? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, then shall you be clear to be able to see to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye." And this mote, this word mote here is Old English word, and for us it would be splinter. There's this big old beam in our eye, and there's this splinter in the other guy's eye, which is a sin. This is what this is referring to. This mote and this beam is referring to acts of sin. So we're going to pull this little speck out of your eye. And I understand sin is sin, but this is a comparison thing for us to understand from an analogy here, and this is what he is doing here. What we need to consider is, what was Jesus condemning? Now, I've kind of already stated, and we've already looked at it, his condemnation was against any and all types of being hypocritical, having our self-righteous judgments of others. That's what we actually see in chapter 7, Matthew 7, verses 2 through 5. Jesus was warning against judging someone else for his or her sins when we ourselves are sinning perhaps even worse. This is the kind of judging that Jesus commanded us not to do. If a believer sees another believer sinning, it is this, the one who sees the other one sinning, it is the one who sees, it is his, I'm going to use the word Christian duty, in a loving and respectful way to go to the person about his sin. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18 verse 15. "Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." Now, I understand this context that we're reading here is talking about someone has sinned against you. You go and you get this straightened out, and it tells you how to do this. Well, I'm applying this to the fact that if a believer sees a believer sinning, we have a responsibility to go and to help them out. And we can go and we can point it out. He tells us the manner in which we do it. The context is if it's against you. Well, let's go on. Verse 16, "If he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Verse 17, "But if you neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican." In the context of the word, the New Testament word that is translated judge, this is actually not judging. It rather is pointing out truth, and it is pointing out, obviously, truth in love and in hope that the other person is going to repent, the person is going to change, because the ultimate goal is that of bringing repentance to the other person, so that the other person will hear it and will repent. James 5 and verse 20. James 5 verse 20. "Let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So I think it's pretty clear that we have a responsibility if we see one another sinning. Yes, you do it in private, you do it in love, you do it very respectfully, you do it knowing, I too understand, I am a sinner, I have sinned, I understand. I mean, you know, but this is what the context is talking about. We are instructed actually in Ephesians 4 and verse 15 to speak the truth in love. And we're also instructed to state what God's word says about sin. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The New International Version has a little bit more modern wording, and I think it may be a little bit clearer. It says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with all patience and careful instructions. Now, I know somebody can come back and say, well, this is an epistle to, this is a pastoral epistle. This is only talking to the ministry. Well, I think we're going to see by the end that we as brothers are to love our brothers, and part of it is this understanding. This is showing us the way it is to be done. Obviously, it is the responsibility. I'm not trying to prove this point. I'm just making the statement. It is an obvious responsibility of the ministry to help one another and to do these things. And so here is a pastor. He's being told, this is how you do it. You know, if you're applying this principle that we just saw in Matthew 18, verse 15, you go to your brother who has sinned against you. What is the attitude in which you go? How are you to do it? The same way. These are the same instructions of which you would do that. You would do this out of, you would correct, you would rebuke, and then you would courage with great patience and careful instructions. You'd be able to go to the Bible and say, this is sin, this is why. I'm not telling you what the words you would say. I'm telling you, you know, the sense of it. We are to judge sin, but always with the goal of presenting the solution for sin and the consequences of sin. John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Okay, so let's go on and let's go to the next question. I told you it's two questions. And the second question is, when are we to judge or not judge? Well, first of all, I think the thing we need to realize first off is we are always to exercise honest judgment and judge, meaning to discern, to evaluate, to determine what is right or what is wrong according to God's holy book, the Bible. It is always to be according to the Bible, not our opinion, out of the Word of God. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This would even apply. You go to your brother, the Matthew 18 situation. He sinned against you. You go to him. All of it has to be done out of the Bible. I don't mean you quote verses to the person, but I'm talking about you go to the person who says, well, you sinned against me when you did. We need to be able to back these things up out of the Bible. I think it's pretty clear, the Word of God. That's our instruction book. That's what gives us the grounds for which to go to another person who has sinned against us. Luke 12, verse 56. Luke 12, verse 56. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not concern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves judge you not what is right? He says you should be able to judge what is right. That's the point that I'm making here. We are to judge, and it is always to be judged according to the Word of God. That's the point that I'm making. Let's go to, I'm going to show you a couple of other verses, a couple of other references in regard to this point. Next one is 1 Corinthians 11:31. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if we're going to be looking at our own lives according to the pages of the Bible, we wouldn't have to be judged. And that word there could just as well be evaluate, discern, or determine, or it could even be judgmental. In other words, the bad kind. If we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be, if we would do it in one way, out of the pages of the Bible. That's the point. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Oh, interesting. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And all saints are not the ministry. So when I made the statement earlier, this is the principle here is applying. Yes, that instructions that I was reading there in Timothy was to a church pastor and how to go about doing it. But the principle is there for all of us. We, the saints, are going to judge. That's what it says. Matthew chapter 12. Putting together several verses trying to make this point, I hope, clear. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Matthew 12, 35. We begin. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So there is that day of judgment coming. This is the point. Verse 37. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words shall you be condemned. You're going to be judged right, you're going to be condemned. By your words, when it is brought up against the word of God. That's what he is making. This is the point that he's saying. So we sit around on the Sabbath and we talk about all kinds of things. Is there going? They're idle words. And that is a point. Remember, I stated it off by saying this is a warning to the Church of God at large, including us. And so we need to be apprised of these things. We need to be aware of this. Not going to the Old Testament. You can look it up. But Solomon, when God asked him, he says, what do you want that I can bless you if you're going to be king? One of the things that he asked for, he asked God to cause him to be able to determine right from wrong. And so that's something that I think all of us need to be praying for. We need to be asking for. Show me, put it in my heart, cause me to be able to determine right from wrong. And how we determine what is right from wrong is from the pages of the Bible. So I keep going back to that particular point. Everything is judged by God's word and by God's objective and by God's unchanging standard for what is good and evil and what is righteousness and what is sin. He's the one who gets to determine those things. He's the one who already has determined what is good and what is evil and what is righteousness and what is sin. And it's in what we call the Bible. So that's going to cause us to be able, if we start praying what Solomon was asking for, more discernment that we would be able to know what is right from wrong, that means we're going to need to be putting ourselves more and more into the pages of the Bible. But that's what we're asking for. John 12, 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Now we're getting into something really interesting here. I mean, I find this very, very interesting. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What most people refer to as judgment day. I mean, this is where they get this from, in the last day. Now go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let's begin reading in verse 46. Yeah, you're seeing I'm giving a lot of references here. I was taught back in the early days of my ministry by one of the evangelists. He said, when you give the sermons, hide behind the scriptures. Let the scriptures be your, you know, where you're getting your information. And I think we can easily hide behind it when we put them together in certain ways. So let's go to John chapter 8, verse 46. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Pretty strong words. These are Jesus Christ speaking again. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? He says, aren't we speaking right words when we tell you you're a Samaritan and you have a demon? And Jesus answered, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now let's go up in John 8, verse 15 and 16. Verse 15, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, because I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. I want us to understand this point. Jesus, who was the Son of God, he stated he did not personally judge anyone while he was on the earth. At the same time, the words that he spoke are the words that is going to bring about judgment on people who are not living the godly way of life. But he says, I'm not judging anyone. Now, what did he mean whenever he says, I'm not judging anyone? He's talking about he was not condemning them. And we might want to add the point, at that time. Condemnation was not on them at that time. He said, I didn't come to judge them at this time. But the words that he spoke were words of which they were going to be. That's the word of God. And so all of that helps us. What we also need to realize is there is no conflict between those verses that we just read and this next one that I want to read in John 9 and verse 39. John 9 and verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And you're going to go, that is confusion. And this is where it comes from. This is a lot of these kind of things, exactly where this topic comes from. This is why people will, you know, you might tell somebody, well, that's a sin. And they say, well, you're judging me and you don't have the right, you can't judge me. Pointing out good and evil is not a judgment other than this is good and this is evil. You're not saying, and as a result of this, I pronounce you to hellfire forever. But that's in essence what sometimes people are accusing us of doing by pointing out good and evil. Because they too don't understand. Obviously, they don't understand. I think it should be clear. And yes, I know that I could spend a lot more time in all of this and hopefully would make it even more so. We are to judge, or we are to discern between what is good and what is evil, and we are then told not to pass judgment on unbelievers. That's what we're actually instructed to do, and the reason is because they can't understand it anyway. I mean, the reason they can't understand it is because they do not have God's Holy Spirit. It is only those who are called, and I'm using that particular word because there's a passage that we're going to read that is going to say that. It is only those who are called can understand, because they have God's Holy Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, and we'll see this. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. I write unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. In other words, someone who says, I'm a believer. There's a distinction. Someone who is not called, someone who is called. Someone who calls themselves a brother, and someone that we would obviously know is not. Not a Sabbath keeper, not trying to live a godly way of life. That's obviously a non-believer. If you know, strong distinctions there, and I think you understand it. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. This is verse 11. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one do not to eat. For what do I have to do to judge them also that are without? Those that are not part of the body of Christ. This is how we would understand this. Do not you judge them that are within? Oh. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. This was someone who was supposed to have been a believer, who was part of this congregation and was obviously doing things that were sinful. And he said, so you judge, and you put him away, put him out from the midst of you. Paul is saying, what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside, but those who are outside, God judges? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. And yes, I know that I'm putting scriptures together upon scripture to make all of these points, and I understand that. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, we begin. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, meaning flesh and blood, human people are just walking around that do not have God's Holy Spirit. This is who he's talking about. Every day, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Sally, and Jane that live out there in the world. This is what he's talking about, the natural man. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual things have to have spiritual discernment, and they don't have God's Spirit. Therefore, they can't discern spiritual things. This is another way of saying it. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And you could put in, we have the mind of Christ because it's what we're told. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When we detect, when we see, when we recognize whatever word that we would want to put here, when we have an understanding that a sin, that there is a sin in a brother or a sister, and we are, I tried to come up with all kinds of words to get the point I'm trying to get across here, and that is, and we are moved, we are pressed, motivated, inspired by the Holy Spirit, then we are to speak the truth in love. And you're going, wait a minute, but I may see this brother, but I'm not going to let the Spirit motivate me to go and talk to him. Wrong answer. Because if we see it, the Spirit of God is probably moving us along to see it. And we would be denying the Spirit of God. I mean, so there's a lot of other outside influences and other kinds of complications that we need to get into all of this. That I don't have time to really get into all of this. But I think we should see that when we detect a sin in a brother or a sister and we are pressed by the Holy Spirit, we are to speak the truth in love. We have a responsibility to help each other in our walk with God. We have that responsibility. We are responsible for helping our brothers and our sisters walk correctly in God's ways. Yes, I have a scripture. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, isn't that what I just said? If you see the man, you discern it, you understand it, you detect it. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Yes, but I'm not the spiritual. Those who are spiritual, restore such a one. The context is not necessarily ministry. The context is those who have the Spirit of God, in a comparative sense of those who don't have the Spirit of God. We are our brother's keeper. We are responsible for helping our brothers and sisters walk correctly in God's ways. And if we see someone who is sinning, we have a responsibility to go to them and speak the truth in love. Not harangue them, not give them our opinions, not all of that, not to be better than. This is what it is saying. In a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You can also write in your notes, and you can read it later, James 5, verses 19 and 20. It says a lot along the lines of the same thing. Kind of just stating, just throwing this out, another point, we understand this, since only God knows the heart of a person. He's made that very plain, Old and New Testament. So since we know that only God knows the heart of a person, we cannot always judge whether a believer is truly a believer or not. But God knows how. God does know. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time till the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. We may not always know. Person says, I'm a believer. Okay. We would take it at that, because we don't have any reason not to be able to discern that he's not, unless we know, we can see it. But so many times we don't. But what we tend to do as humans, and we've had a long history in the church of doing this as well, this is what I'm saying. We've also come to the place that we give people motives. We don't know the heart. That's the point. We don't know the heart. I don't know why a person does X. You don't know why I do X, Y, or Z, unless I've told you. And if I tell you, then you know. And you go, well, he's lying to me. You don't know that. And I don't know that if somebody else tells me that. There's a lot of, it could be 20 different things. I mean, that's too big of an exaggeration. But that could easily be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different things why a person does almost anything. And so we give this person motives. We're looking at the heart. We're claiming we know the man's heart. This person did this because we don't know that. That is the point that I'm making. And this verse is telling us, don't judge anything before the time. Let it come out. It will be made known. It'll be manifest. This is what it is saying. Now go to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And we understand, I've kind of jumped into the track of here. I'm not even dealing with the world now. Okay, did you already get that? It said, why are you worried about them? They're the world. God's going to judge that. We have the responsibility of judging, helping one another, discerning where we are in our walk with God. This is what it is telling us. I don't have that for someone else unless they come before me and they say, will you help me out? That's different. We can point out good and evil, and that's as far as it can go. If it's a brother, I am a believer, and this believer, stated believer, whether he is or isn't, but he says he's a believer and he's doing the things, doing something that's contrary to the scriptures, we can point it out to him. Go to Luke chapter 6, Luke 6:35. But love you your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind even to the unthankful and to the evil. But we're not to do this. Well, of course we're to do this. Be you therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. That's more what the word is in so many cases where we read it. Judge not that you be not judged. It is more of the word of condemnation. Now, I think we had to see a lot of this other to be able to get to this place to see this, to understand this. We got to state it and go, oh, yeah, I understand. Now I think we understand it more. I think it's a deeper way of seeing it, putting it together. Judge not that you be not judged. Condemn not that you be not condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. And why behold you the splinter that is in your brother's eye and perceive not, and you don't know that you have a beam in your own eye? Either how can you say to your brother, brother, let me pull out the splinter that you have in your eye, when you yourself don't behold that you have a beam sticking out of your own eye? You hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you be clearly able to pull out the mote that is in your brother's eye. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We forgive the person before we ever start dealing with it. The forgiveness already has to be there. That's also an extremely critical point in understanding child rearing. You forgive it before you correct it. If you don't, it's not really godly discipline in that sense. That's more like revenge. We forgive it before we deal with it. Before we deal with somebody else, we forgive them because we know. We forgive them because we know they also are human. They are human, and we all make mistakes. We all sin. We don't want to, but we have to admit it. We all do. And we all sin. So does our brother. And so we forgive it before we start dealing with it. While it is true that we are to judge or to discern whether something is right or wrong according to the Holy Bible, we are also told that we are to guard our own attitude. And we are to reject revenge and retribution. We put those away from us. Because we've already forgiven them, therefore we're not going to have an attitude of revenge or an attitude of retribution against the person. If we pass judgment on someone based on our own self-righteousness, or if we are seeking some type of revenge on somebody else, or we have committed some same similar sin or even greater sins ourselves, what's going to happen? We're going to be judged as, or maybe even perhaps more harshly by God than the person that we're condemning. Matthew 7, verse 1. We go back and see this. Judge not that you be not judged. Hopefully this is beginning to make a lot more sense. We don't pass judgment on someone else, condemnation on someone else, because with whatever judgment you pass on to that other person, that's what's going to come back to you. This is what it's saying. This is what we're being told. So you go all the way down into verse 5, and it says, you hypocrite, first cast out the beam of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly how to help your brother get the little splinter out of his eye. You've already forgiven him. You're not doing anything out of revenge or retribution. You're not holding ill will or any of those kinds of things before the, you know, toward this other person. Because if we do, this is what he's saying. This is what's going to happen. Because this, you know, and you forgive and you will be forgiven. If you don't, you won't be. You know where that comes in context to James, I mean to Matthew 7? The chapter before. So he's setting it up. Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount there is setting up and telling us. Because see, here's the point. Jesus knows the hearts of all people and we don't. Therefore, while we are to walk in Jesus' step, we need to very clearly understand we can neither discern the hearts nor proclaim condemnation as Jesus Christ did. Because we don't know the heart. But he also told us that he did not come to earth at that time to judge people. Instead, he proclaimed the word of God of truth. That's what he says. So I didn't come to judge the world. I'm pointing out what's going to happen. I'm pointing out this is good and this is evil, and these people are doing this is good and this is evil. He gave all kinds of illustrations, all kinds of examples out of people's lives, but he wasn't condemning the people. John 12:47-50. We read this earlier. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I mean, we read this. We read this. Drop down to verse 47. For I have not spoken of myself, but of the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. There's a lot more to this topic. And I understand there's a lot more to this topic. At the beginning of the sermon, I made the statement this sermon is intended as a warning to the Church of God at large. Why? Because we have a long history of judging and condemning one another, not to even mention the world in our us and them condemnations. What we have seen is we don't. We help one another, our brothers, through trials and difficulties and shortcomings, and we forgive them and we help them out in love and in truth. And we don't judge the world. It's what Jesus Christ instructed us, pointing it out what it is. Yeah, giving motives, giving condemnation to these people. We don't have that authority. And brethren, I'm saying I gave this as a warning to the Church of God at large. I mean because with administration splitting or claiming we're the number one or we're the only ones or we're whatever it is that they're claiming. And I know you get the point. You understand what I'm saying. It should be clear we are to judge right from wrong and we are to stand up from right against the wrong. Not judge or pass sentence upon people as our history shows us that we have done. And we need to stop. And if no one else hears this and if no one else takes heed, I hope that every one of us heed this and we repent and we stop and we don't have any more history of this. It can be past, but it won't be history. It won't be forward. It won't move any further. We won't do this anymore. Jesus Christ is the judge. And he is returning soon as the judge to judge the world at that time. And he will do it in love and in righteousness. Just like we are to be doing it towards one another now. As we help one another move toward the kingdom. the Aaronic blessing. And I would ask that you would please receive this blessing, that you would listen and really receive it. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.